Let's take Scripture then and open to the Gospel of Luke this morning. Luke chapter 2. Beginning with verse 36 and reading through to the end of the chapter, we read here various details about what happened to and with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his childhood. First, when he was very young and brought to the temple by his parents, and then when he was a boy at the age of 12. But we begin then with verse 36 of Luke chapter 2. Let us hear the word of the Lord. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The text for the proclamation of God's word this morning is the verses 46 and 47 about Jesus at 12 years old sitting among the teachers of the law. In response to the proclamation of the Word of God, let us rise together, if able, and sing number 119, Psalm 119M. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, from the Word of God, we do not know very much about the childhood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, about his birth, we do know a significant amount. the appearance of the angels, the coming of the shepherds, the arrival of the wise men, all of these things are recorded quite briefly, succinctly, but in some detail, and we know them well. We hear them every Christmas time again. And then, as Jesus grows up, we do have, through the working of the Holy Spirit, this one account of Jesus at the age of 12 going with his parents to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. But then, beyond that, really, not much more. And it has always left some question, also in the early church, about what Jesus was like, what he did as a little boy. And in fact, some in the early church, out of their curiosity, started to, you might say, fill in the gap with stories of their own, not true stories, but accounts that they made up about what Jesus did or what he might have done as a little boy. I'll mention just two of them this morning. For the sake of the children here, let's be clear, these are not true stories from the Bible. They are just things that people said about Jesus in the early church. There was a story going around that when Jesus was 3 years old, he was walking along the road with his mother, and he heard that his mother wanted some fruit from a tree. So he gave the command at 3 years old, and the tree bent down so that his mom could pluck the fruit and eat. Or there was this story going around about Jesus when he was 5 years old. And he was, as a five-year-old child might do, playing with clay, something like Play-Doh. And he made some birds out of Play-Doh. But then he gave the command, and suddenly those clay birds became real birds, and a dozen of them flew away. You see, there was, in the early church, it seems, a desire to make the boy Jesus into this miracle worker, this little boy who could do fantastic things that no other little boy could do, and leave everyone astonished and amazed. But that's not what we hear in the Bible. The Bible does not reveal the boy Jesus to be some type of miracle worker who used divine power to surprise, to stun and amaze fellow little boys and girls or others who were around. Rather, in the very short account that we read about Jesus, who as a boy was so eager to learn. This, brothers and sisters, is what the Holy Spirit wants us to know about Jesus as a 12-year-old boy. That he was an avid student, one who really wanted to learn. But in that, as we hope to see this morning, he was also our Savior. And so I may proclaim to you the word of God from the second chapter of Luke, particularly the verses 46 and 47. Jesus in his youth, both a student and our Savior. We'll see three things. First of all, how he was sitting among the teachers. Then he was learning from those teachers. And finally, how he astonished those teachers and also others who may have been gathered around. Jesus in his youth. A student. There may be something about that, brothers and sisters, that raises your eyebrow, causes a question in your mind. Because we know, of course, what a student is. A student is someone who's learning, being taught. A student is someone who listens to what the teacher is saying. And a student may have to do certain exercises, certain worksheets. We have students here, elementary school age, high school age, college, university students. And things change a little bit as you grow older and you get more advanced in your studies. Worksheets become research papers. But basically, being a student is the same. You listen. You ask questions. You seek answers. And through all of that, you grow in knowledge. You grow in understanding. You learn things that you never knew before. We know what a student is. But somehow, we have a question when we apply that word student to Jesus. Because, of course, he's entirely unique. He's both God and man. And God knows everything. God doesn't need to grow and increase in knowledge. He knows everything. So, can we say that Jesus was a student, growing and gaining knowledge year by year? Brothers and sisters, whenever we speak of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, true God and true man, there is always some mystery there. There is always something that we cannot fully explain. But the fact that Jesus was, is, and always will be very God of very God does not take anything away from the fact that he became a real human being, starting as a real baby and then becoming a real boy. And with respect to his human nature, with respect to the fact that he was a real baby and he was a real boy, yes, the Holy Spirit says he did learn, he did grow and increase in wisdom, even as he grew and increased in stature. Did you notice that both before and after the text for this morning, there's an emphasis on that? First of all, verse 40. And the child grew, and he became strong. Just like under normal circumstances, a child grows up and gains strength as he grows. But as he was growing and becoming stronger, he was also filled with wisdom. And then verse 52, perhaps even more to the point for our purposes this morning. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. As a baby, he was, 20 inches or so long, average size of a baby. But then, of course, he grew. And he became taller and taller until he was a full-grown man. He went through the normal process of growing physically from the size of a baby to the size of a full-grown man. But just as surely as he developed physically, the Holy Spirit says he also developed and increased intellectually, mentally, in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But he did so as our Savior. He did so as our mediator. He did so without even one moment of foolishness, sinfulness, or disobedience. And that is what made him so unique already in his youth. And that, brothers and sisters, is what makes him also our Savior with his entire life. Because when you think of your growing years, the years which you may be in right now, as a child, as a teenager, or as an adult, you may think back to your years when you were growing up physically, but also mentally, intellectually. Your youth is or was not sin-free. That's why we sang this morning from the 25th Psalm. A psalm that mentions specifically among all the sins that we commit, but also speaks about our sins of youth. The times when we're just foolish or we're stubborn, disobedient, disrespectful, even sometimes maybe just rebellious. And what a blessing it is, brothers and sisters, to read about this Jesus, our Savior, who went through all the stages, all the phases, but without a hint of foolishness, no stubbornness, no disobedience, no disrespect, and no rebellion, to cover over all our sins of youth. Now that's something to be thankful for. And specifically, the Holy Spirit speaks here about what Jesus did in his 12th year of growing up. He was taken along by his parents to the Feast of Passover. And there was so much to see. There was so much to learn as he came to the temple, as he saw the altar and the priests busy there bringing all the sacrifices of the people to God. As he could have seen in the courtyard of the temple, the big bronze laver, the washing bowl for the priests. As he could have seen the special clothing of the priests. All kinds of things to see, all kinds of things to learn. The feast was not only a joyous occasion, but also an educational experience for everyone who came. But even when the feast was done, Jesus still did not have enough. He stayed. Even when, at 12 years old, his parents and relatives and everyone else went back on the road to Nazareth, at 12 years old, you don't normally walk away from your parents. You may be gaining a little bit of independence at 12 years old, but you still want to stick pretty close to your parents, especially in a big city. But Jesus was so intense, so zealous to learn more, that he stayed behind. And he was sitting among the teachers, the men who had training and understanding in the Scriptures, the law, the prophecies. And think of it now, brothers and sisters. Here is the boy. That's what Scripture says. Verse 43. The boy Jesus, sitting there with who knows how many exactly teachers of the law. And there is a remarkable divine irony here. Because the one who is sitting there, the boy Jesus, we know, is also God. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah at 12 years old. And we know from the First Peter that the Spirit of Christ was the one who inspired the Scriptures that all of these teachers devoted their lives to learning. In a very real sense, the author of the Holy Scriptures was sitting among the teachers. Now, who should be learning from who? If you are there with the author, you would say that it is the teachers, all of these revered scholars, they are the ones who should be learning from Jesus. But it's around. Jesus is sitting among the teachers as student, there to learn. All part of his humiliation. Here is the one who had all the glories of heaven and eternity, and he's here as a 12-year-old boy sitting among the teachers. He humbled himself also in this respect so that we, brothers and sisters, might be blessed. For we, by nature, we are in ignorance. As the Scripture says, our understanding is darkened. And yet, through the humiliation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who became a student, we now are blessed by Him who is our chief prophet and teacher. And as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, He has lavished us. I wish to emphasize that word. Ephesians 1 verse 8. He has lavished. That means poured out in generous measure. His grace in all wisdom and insight. And that's what you as congregation have received from children, youth, to adults, from Him who was the student, but is now our chief teacher. Do we still appreciate, brothers and sisters? Do we still have some sense of the lavish understanding that by the grace of God we have received? Even the children here have an insight. They have, in a childlike way, they have a wisdom into what life is really about, into who God truly is, into where God is taking this entire world and history. The children here have a wisdom that some of the greatest philosophers, scholars, and teachers of this age do not have a clue. And it all comes to us through this Jesus, student, who is also our Savior. And at 12 years old, he was sitting there among these highly educated men, these scholars, and he was listening, says the Word of God. He was listening, and he was asking them questions. This is what children do when they're learning, especially when they're really young. They listen, they listen, they listen. Sometimes when we have a child about 2 years old, 1.5, not really speaking too much yet, but we say they're listening, and they're soaking up all of this vocabulary, all of these words, and then one day it all comes out. Words, phrases, sentences, before you know it. See, they listen. And they learn. And once they learn to speak, then they start asking questions. Mom, what's this? Dad, how's that? Dad, why? Question, question, question. Sometimes tiring out their parents, but they keep asking questions because they want to learn. You see, that's the characteristic particularly of young children. Listening, listening, asking, asking, and growing in understanding and knowledge as they go. Not so typical of a 12-year-old. Oh, they still know how to listen. They still know how to ask questions. But some of that intense curiosity of the 2 and the 3 and the 4 and the 5 and the first graders starts to diminish a bit by the time they're 10, 12, 13, 14. But not for the boy Jesus. At 12 years old, the time when sometimes children become more quiet, he is there amidst the Bible scholars of the age, and he's listening with big ears, soaking in everything that's being said. And he's asking one question, another question, another question. For the better part of 3 days. Why, brothers and sisters? Because he was so eager to learn, to take it all in. After all of these ceremonies associated with the feast, all of these sacrifices, all of the holy scriptures that were being spoken about and discussed and debated among the scholars of the age, the teachers of the law.
What did they all point to? They're all pointing. They're all speaking about the one who's sitting there. Jesus. The Christ. And so, he's filled with an intense desire to grow, to increase in wisdom. But he also does it as our Savior, as our mediator. For once again, if you think back to your youth, or maybe you are still in your youth, but there are so many opportunities to learn. To learn about the things of God. To learn about salvation. To learn about the things that really count now and for eternity. And what do? Often, we waste the opportunities. Or at least, we don't use them to the full potential. Bible reading devotions around the table. Yeah, we read. Maybe even we ask some questions and speak a bit. But how often do we not maximize what we could really learn when we do family devotions together? Or the catechism class. How often do we miss out on the full benefit, the full potential of the catechism instruction? How many adults here have not said, "I wish I had paid more attention when I was in catechism"? It's heard often. Young people's Bible study, schooling, church history, Bible class. So many opportunities in which the things of God and the truths of salvation are being expounded and explained in all of their riches. And our minds are drifting off, daydreaming, not paying full attention, not growing in understanding as we really could. But here's the boy Jesus, a student, but also our Savior. The one who was so perfectly eager, so perfectly willing, so fervent in this opportunity to learn, to cover over all the times that we wasted the potential that was there. Something to be thankful for. And all who were gathered there around him, the teachers of the law and maybe some others as well standing there, all who heard him, when they observed, when they listened, not only to the questions that Jesus asked, but also, note, the Holy Spirit says, his understanding and the answers that he gave, they were amazed. They were flabbergasted, we would say. Astounded. It's a very strong word. It means you're at a loss for words, really. You don't know what to say. It's so remarkable. This is not average. This is not ordinary. They were amazed. You see, because that's part of it, too. When learning, you ask questions, but you also give answers. And it's particularly when Jesus, the 12-year-old boy, spoke and gave some understanding, gave some answer to what was being discussed. The wise, experienced, you might say PhD scholars in Scripture, shook their heads. They were astounded. Now sometimes, brothers and sisters, children like to catch the adults in knowing something that the adults don't know. Probably there are some children here who have done that. "Did you know, Dad?" And then always feels kind of good when you know something that dad or mom doesn't know, or you know something that your teacher doesn't know. But then we can become a little bit cheeky, a little bit proud, it's a little bit show-off. This is not show-off, brothers and sisters. This is a humble, respectful boy Jesus speaking about and learning about the Holy Scriptures from the leaders, the teachers in the temple. But when he utters words to give answer, even the smartest adults were left speechless. And why? What was it about his answer that so shocked them? Brothers and sisters, if we compare Scripture with Scripture, later on, when Jesus was in his public ministry and he taught, think of the Sermon on the Mount. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the crowds, the people who heard, were once again left astonished. Why? Because it was so lofty? Because it was so complex? No. Because it was so deep and yet so plain, so straightforward, so incisive, cutting right to the heart of the matter. You see, and that's what made Jesus' words so different. Already at 12 years old, it was starting. Then the teachers of the law. Oh, they knew a lot. And one rabbi could quote another rabbi who could quote another rabbi. And they could build up large, complex arguments and discussions and debates about this aspect of the law and that aspect of the ceremony. But at a certain point, it became all layered and complex. But Jesus, he taught parables. Jesus, he spoke in so simple yet so deep truths that even the children, they could understand. They could, as we say, get it. And that's what was so astonishing about Jesus' answers. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is no longer a student sitting among the teachers. He was 12 years old. Now, he's our chief prophet and teacher, sitting at the right hand of God. But through the Holy Spirit, he is still teaching us. He's teaching us with that so plain, so simple truth of the gospel, the depths of which you could be a student all your life and never come to the bottom of it. But the combination of the two, the depth, but the plainness, the simplicity of it, that's what is so amazing, so astonishing. The stories that went around about Jesus portrayed him as someone who could do the tricks. Make the tree lean down. Make the little clay doves fly. Jesus in his youth was not a miracle trick worker. Jesus in his youth was a student and a Savior. A Savior who is now our top chief teacher. And we can be so thankful for the knowledge, the insight, and the wisdom that he lavishes upon us, even in our youth and childhood. Amen.